You should serve them. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari.
Aurana Gova Kunya Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava
Gopijana Malabha Giri Badadari.
Jaya Gopijana Malabha Giri Badadari.
Gopijana Malabha Giri Badadari.
Jaya Gopijana Malabha Giri Varadhari.
Sholananda Rajajana Ranjana.
Sholananda Rajajana Ranjana.
Sholananda Rajajana Ranjana.
Sholananda Rajajana Ranjana.
Yamunati Ravana Jana.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Jai Urana Rua Kurya Vihari.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari.
Jai Urana Rua Kurya Vihari. Shimad, his divine grace. Abhaya Chandanad, Bhaktivananda, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Ananda Goti, Voishnav, Vrindli Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Huidas, Thakur Kijai, Prem Seiko, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nichananda, Srila Girata, Srila Siddhi Gaur, Bhaktivananda, Kijai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Bhagavata Sayam Kun Radha Kunda Giri Go Vradan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Vijayam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Vramai Kijai Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Go Vrindavan Hari. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Welcome everybody who's joining us online. Vrindavan Chandra, Srina from Australia, Mayapur Chandra, Anton, Ashish, Gurman. Okay. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we're reading from the 12th canto, which is the final canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. First chapter, text 1, about the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay, so I'll just read the text. Vishugavacha taktas chanu dinam dharma sacham shocham shamadhyaya kalena balina rajan nam shatyahur valam spritiki. Can you repeat? Sri Shugavacha. Shukadev Goswami said.
Shukadev Goswami said.
Tataha. Then.
Then.
Cha.
And.
Anudinam,
Anudinam,
day after day,
day after day,
dharma,
dharma,
religion,
religion,
satyam,
satyam,
truth,
truth,
shocham,
shocham,
cleanliness,
cleanliness,
kshama,
kshama,
tolerance,
tolerance,
uyha,
mercy.
Kalena,
Kalena,
by the force of time.
By the force of time.
Balina,
Balina,
strong.
Strong.
Rajan,
Rajan,
O King Parikshit.
O King Parikshit.
Nangshati,
Nangshati,
will become ruined.
Will become ruined.
Ayahu,
Ayahu,
duration of life.
Duration of life.
Balam,
Balam,
strength.
Smriti,
memory.
Memory.
Okay. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, then, O King, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength, and memory will all diminish day by day because of the powerful influence of the age of Kali. Okay. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. During the present age, Kali Yuga, practically all desirable qualities will gradually diminish, as described in this verse. For example, dharma, which indicates a respect for higher authority that leads one to obey religious principles, will diminish. In the Western world, theologians have been unable to scientifically present the laws of God, or indeed God Himself, and thus in Western intellectual history, a rigid dichotomy, that means dichotomy means two things that are opposed to each other, has arisen between theology and science. In an attempt to resolve this conflict, some theologians have agreed to modify their doctrines so they conform not only to proven scientific facts, but even to pseudo-scientific speculations and hypotheses, which, though unproven, are hypocritically included within the realm of science. On the other hand, some fanatical theologians disregard the scientific method altogether, insist on the veracity of their antiquated sectarian dogmas. I think it's quite interesting. Such, I should explain that for the children. So the people who are fanatical religionists have these old scriptures that were not actually written by realized personalities, and they just like stick to them. I mean, for example, the Bible was actually written way after Jesus Christ disappeared from this world. It wasn't written by Jesus Christ's initial followers because his followers were illiterate. None of them could read or write, except for Jesus Christ. And it wasn't written, and it was written in Greek, and none of his followers spoke Greek. So later on, it was like second, third, fourth hand information. So, and people just stick on to that. Whereas we have the direct words of the previous acharyas. The benefit, thus bereft of systematic Vedic theology, material science has moved into the destructive realm of gross materialism, while speculative Western philosophy has drifted into the superficiality of, this is big words for all of you, relativistic ethics and inconclusive linguistic analysis. In other words, juggling words. With so many of the best Western minds dedicated to materialistic analysis, naturally much of the Western religious life, separated from the intellectual mainstream, is dominated by irrational fanaticism and unauthorized mystic and mystery cults. That means like people declare themselves to be God. People who become so ignorant of the science of God that they often lump the Krishna consciousness movement into this odd assortment of fanciful attempts at theology and religion. Thus, Dharma, or true religion, which is strict and conscious obedience to God's laws, is diminishing. Satyam, truthfulness, is also diminishing, simply because people do not know what the truth is. Without knowing the absolute truth, one cannot clearly understand the real significance or purpose of life merely by amassing large quantities of relative or hypothetical truths. Kshama, tolerance or forgiveness, is diminishing as well because there are no practical methods by which people can purify themselves and thus become free of envy. Unless one is purified by chanting the holy names of the Lord in an authorized program of spiritual improvement, the mind will be overwhelmed by anger, envy, and all sorts of small-mindedness. Thus, the eye of mercy is also decreasing. All living beings are eternally connected by their common participation in the divine existence of God. When this existential oneness is obscured, that means blocked, through atheism and agnosticism, people are not inclined to be merciful to one another. They cannot recognize their self-interest in promoting the welfare of other living beings. In fact, people are no longer even merciful to themselves. They systematically destroy themselves through liquor, drugs, tobacco, meat-eating, sexual promiscuity, and whatever other cheap gratificatory processes are available to them. This is really a lot of information in this purport. Because all these self-destructive practices and the powerful influence of time, the average lifespan, ayur, is decreasing. Modern scientists seeking to gain credibility amongst the mass of people often publish statistics supposedly showing that science has increased the average duration of life. But these statistics do not take into account the number of aborted children into the life expectancy of the total population. We find that the average duration of life has not at all increased in the age of Kali, but is rather decreasing drastically. And actually, there's a statistic here. According to the United States Statistical Abstract for 1984, there were about 3.7 million live births in the United States in 1982, and the average life expectancy at birth was 74.5 years. But when the 1.5 million abortions are added to the live births, the average life expectancy for conceived children falls to 53 years. That's interesting. And now, of course, there's much more abortions than there were in those days, and even in India. So bodily strength is also decreasing. The Vedic literature states that 5,000 years ago, in the previous age, human beings and even animals and plants were larger and stronger. With the progress of the age of Kali, physical stature, that means the height, and strength will gradually diminish. Certainly, smriti, memory, is weakening. In former ages, human beings possessed superior memory, and they also did not encumber themselves with a terrible bureaucratic and technical society as we have done. Thus, essential information and abiding wisdom were preserved without recourse to writing. Of course, in the age of Kali, things are dramatically different. So, Sri Shukravacha Tadashtanu Dinam Dharmas Yam Shukjam Kshama Duya Kale Nabalina Rajan Nang Shat Yahur Balam Smitehi. So, So, if you haven't discovered already, we're in the age of Kali, which is called the age of quarrel, the age of iron, the iron age. I mean, so many different names for it. And so this Kali is being ruled over, Kali Yuga, is being ruled over by a demigod. And his name is Kali. And that's different than Bhadra Kali. You understand? There's a difference. So in the Mahabharata, it's described that this Kali is the worst of the demigods. Oh my God. Because he's given the duty by the other demigods. Actually, there's two demigods that are pretty bad, Dwarpa and Kali. One's in charge of Dwarpa Yuga, which things start to get bad, and Kali Yuga, where things start to get really bad. So there's a story in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about how Maharaj Pariksit encounters the personality of Kali. So this story depicts the personality of Kali cutting the legs of the bull and torturing the cow. There's three legs missing on the bull, and the cow is being tortured, and the bull and the cow, that is Bhumi and Dharma, are having a conversation. And what happens is that Maharaj Pariksit comes, and Maharaj Pariksit sees the cow-bull being tortured, and the bull standing on one leg, as described, he's urinating. And he asked the bull, first of all, he asked the bull, who has done this to you? And the bull, naturally, or because the bull is Krishna conscious, the bull doesn't blame Kali, which is interesting. Because the bull understands that nothing happens without the will of the Lord. Like if something happens to you, it's Krishna who's done it, right? Unless it's your fault. You can't blame Krishna for everything, for something you do wrong. Let's say you're taking a test in school and you fail it. And you tell the teacher, the teacher says, what happened? And you said, Krishna did it. No, it's because you're a rascal. You didn't study. Don't blame Krishna for everything that you have control over. Like one time there was devotees who got in a car accident and they died because they fell asleep while they were driving. And the devotees said to Prabhupada, Krishna's mercy. And Prabhupada said, no, it's their foolishness. So things that we have some control over, don't blame Krishna. But things that are out of our control, it's Krishna who put you in that situation for your own purification. Just like we were talking about the story last night, about Chandidas and Damayanti. Some of you may remember the story. That they were put in that situation where their children basically were planning either to kill them or take all their money. And that was Krishna's arrangement. Somehow or other. Krishna makes that arrangement if somehow or other you have devotional service in your past. Just like we have the story of Ajamil. You know the story of Ajamil? So Ajamil, he gave up his good wife, was living with a prostitute, and very old, in his 80s, and he had a kid, and he named the kid, what?
Narayan.
And he was able to chant the name of Narayan at the time of death, and that wasn't accidental. That was because of past devotional service, as Krishna says in the Gita, what? Swapavapyasya dharma shatrayate mahatopayat. There's no diminution in devotional service. That means you don't lose anything. Whatever you have in Krishna consciousness, you take to your next life until you get 100% Krishna conscious. And if you're very Krishna conscious when you die, you take birth in a family of devotees, like all of you. That means in your last lives, you were very Krishna conscious. Right?
Now they're puffed up.
So, that, like Prabhupada used to call them Vaikuntha children. That means children who don't cause anxiety. Or maybe they do cause anxiety. Because the word Vaikuntha means no anxiety. So if you're very advanced, guess what? You take birth in the devotee family. And the first words you hear are, Hare Krishna! That's nice, isn't it? And if you're not so advanced, then you go, according to Krishna Gita, Then you go to the higher planets, and then you take birth in a rich family, in a mercantile family. So you can tell, like, who was very advanced, who was not so advanced. So you are all very advanced yogis in the past. We should offer obeisances to all of you. Right?
That was past life.
Past life, but what are you doing in this life? That's the question. Anyway, you can be very advanced, but then by a little slip of attention, you can take birth as a deer or a dog in your next life. Like Bart Maharaj, right? You've got to be really careful. So anyway, so let's get back to the point. So Dharma the bull, he wasn't blaming Kali because he saw Krishna behind everything. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj understood that he was actually Dharma. You know, he understood religious principles. And so then Parikshit Maharaj took Kali and captured Kali and got ready to kill Kali. Ooh. And Kali did what you usually do when someone's ready to kill you. You say, I surrender. Right? And so he said, I surrender, please save me. And the king is so merciful that even if a rascal says, I'll surrender, I'll do whatever you want, he saves him. So Parikshit Maharaj said, all right, I save you, but you got to get out of here. And the problem with getting out of here is the whole earth was under the jurisdiction of Parikshit Maharaj. There's no place to go. Nowadays, if you tell someone to get out of here and leave my country, you know, they go to another country. But in those days, it wasn't like that. So therefore, Kali said, you're telling me to get out of here, but you got to give me some place to live. And then Parikshit Maharaj said, yes, you could live wherever the four regulated principles are being broken. Wherever there's intoxication, gambling, meat eating, and illicit sex. So, of course, in the Western world, and of course in India now too, these things are so prominent. I mean, just like yesterday we were driving to the program and I saw some advertisement for a casino, mm-hmm. some gambling place that was, I guess it had an Indian name, like American Indian name,
right?
Because the American Indian is allowed to have gambling anywhere because they've been sit in the reservations. So I saw that, and you see so many, like if I go to New Orleans, you see like prostitution, gambling, and what to speak of drinking. You know, nowadays, of course, it's legal for people to smoke ganja. You know where ganja came from? Where?
Shivji.
What?
Shivji.
No, it didn't come from Shivji. It came from India. It's one of the things that we've imported into the United States. It's true. It's true. You know, before. So anyway, so there's many good things that came from India, but some, you know, things that aren't so nice. And of course, then the British exported liquor into India, so to make sure that everybody was fully intoxicated. So anyway, so Parikshit Maharaj said, you can live wherever there is these four regulated principles being broken. And Kali said, they ain't nowhere. And Parikshit Maharaj said, I'll give you a final place where gold is hoarded, you know, where people hoard gold. Because when people have too much opulence, in Janmaishwarya Shrutasya Shibira Namana Adalpuman, they get bewildered. You know, if you have gold, you know, a lot of gold, you're thinking, wow, I can control everybody. And then what do? You exploit. Just like you see a politician who is in the United States who should remain nameless. And, you know, exploiting people, I don't know if I should talk about it, but sometimes I do. That, I mean, there's actually tapes of him, like, exploiting and talking about exploiting women and things like that. And that's because he has money. He can get away with it. And one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is if you have money, then you don't have to worry about justice. Because justice is no longer blind. You understand? What does it mean, blind justice? That if someone is judging you, they should have no, what we call, biases. You know what bias means? Bias means that they should have no connection with either party. They should not be getting bribes. For example, one of my friends, he was accused of something by the police in India. And it cost him $20,000 to bribe his way out. And he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And one time I was in India, we were going... We were taking a bus tour. I think Andrew Jr. was there at the time. And we wanted to go to a section of the city where buses were not allowed. So we stopped. The police said, no, you can't go. And I said, just give him 100 rupees. And they gave him 100 rupees. So anyway. But I also said to all the devotees, we had half Western devotees in the bus, hide in the bus so they don't see you. Because if they see Western faces, they'll want 500 rupees. So there's no justice. Because if you have money, you don't get justice. It's conflicts of interest. Anyway, it's interesting, this whole question of justice. So therefore, money really, what do they say? Money talks, everybody else walks. In God we trust, everyone else pays cash. So, anyway, so Kali was given these 4 or 5 places to live in, and right now he's everywhere. Everywhere where people are not chanting the holy names, where people are not following the 4 regular principles, which means as soon as you step out the door, there's Kali there. And therefore, we have to be very careful of our association. Because if you associate with Kali, and actually this statement in the Bhagavad Gita is what? Karanam guna sangasya sarasad janma jonishu. The cause of your entanglement in the material world is guna sangha. Guna sangha means what? The modes of nature. Like you have satsanga and you have guna sangha. So as soon as you're associating with something not Krishna conscious, then you're guna sangha. You're associating with goodness, passion, or ignorance. So one has to be very, very careful in dealing with this material world, especially in the age of Kali. So I think that's all we'll talk about this morning because we have a full day of programs. Any questions or comments? Questions? Aniruddha? No. Shaka, no questions? So one has to avoid. One thing is that it's interesting that Prabhupada, when he gave initiation, he had people promise to follow the 4 regulated principles, right? So people often wonder about that. Actually, one funny thing is that sometimes we're giving initiations to an older person who never broke the regulated principles. So it's like an insult. I remember one time there was like a 85-year-old lady who was taking initiation, and the devotee said, you have to ask her if she has any illicit sex. I said, well, I'm not going to ask her that. That's kind of crazy. So, because these 4 regulated principles, why is Kali present in these 4 regulated principles? There's actually a why factor, too. First of all, intoxication. Intoxication means to give you or put you into an illusion within an illusion. It's like a dream within a dream within a dream within a dream. You're already in illusion, you're thinking what? You're the body. Like Aniruddha is thinking, I'm a kid. Right? And I'm thinking, I'm an old man. So everybody's thinking they're the body. And when you take intoxication, then you get further into illusion. And not only that, but you call the ghost. And the Prabhupada said, when you take intoxication, the ghosts come. And it puts you in the mode of ignorance. There's the mode of ignorance again. So, and illicit sex is the same thing. It puts you into the complete bodily platform. Gambling makes you crazy, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, right? You know the story about Maharaj Yudhisthira and gambling? What happened?
He lost to Shakuni so many times and then he staked Draupadi.
Yeah, he gambled his own wife. And that's how crazy. Like, have you ever gone to Las Vegas? You know where Las Vegas? Sometimes I go through the airport in Las Vegas as I'm traveling, and they have all these one-armed bandits there. One-armed bandits means, you know, slot machines.
Oh, I thought one-armed bandits.
They're called one-armed bandits. And you see, like, little old ladies just staying there for hours after hours and pulling and putting all their money in. And in Las Vegas, you know, another thing they have is outside of every gambling casino, they have a notary public. Do you know why?
To certify that they can pay?
Well, no, no. So it's because the people come with their car and they sign over the title certificate. Mm. And so they basically leave on a Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
So, wow. You know, it just causes craziness. This happens. This is the problem with gambling. It's an addiction. And actually, in Kali Yuga, you have all these organizations, these what are called anonymous organizations, where people meet with each other and try to overcome these addictions to illicit sex, addictions to intoxication, addictions to gambling, called Gambling Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Smokers Anonymous, Chanting Hare Krishna Anonymous. Isn't it? Imagine all these addictions. You know, people are literally addicted. They can't do without it. Hmm. Of course, you know, there's also Eaters Anonymous, too. People are trying to lose weight. So, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and what to speak of meat eating. It's the heaviest karmic activity you can do. Plus, when you eat the meat, you're actually eating food in the mode of ignorance. As Krishna says in the Gita, there's foods in three modes of nature. And the food in the mode of ignorance is what? Tasteless, stale, decomposed, putrid. Imagine eating flesh. I mean, actually, I have to admit that when I was young, before I joined the Hare Krishna movement, actually, way before I became vegetarian, but when I was young, I ate meat, unfortunately. I have to admit it. You have to be truthful about it. Yeah, and sometimes, and could you imagine, here's a leg. Would you like a leg? Isn't it like chicken? Would you like a wing? Would you like a liver? Isn't that true? Like that? Would you like some blood? That's what meat eating is. You know, you think they have no experience of it. But that's actually what it is. People are talking about different parts of the body. Would you like a rib? Isn't it? Some of you have no experience with these things. You're actually Krishna conscious, but some of us do. And it's disgusting if you actually think about it. Parts of the body. And so it really drags down the consciousness, puts you in the mode of ignorance, puts you fully under the control of Kali, and therefore these other qualities that are described here, such as, you know, memory, forgiveness, truthfulness, all become completely eradicated. Actually, in Kali Yuga, the three legs of the bull, cleanliness, mercifulness, and austerity are gone. The only leg remaining, partially, is truthfulness. But if you actually follow the news now, you'll see that that's really quickly going. You know, cleanliness, people are not clean. As soon as you eat meat, as soon as you do anything, practically in this world, you drink, you become unclean. You become a muchi.
Muchi.
You know what a muchi is? Muchi means unclean. And mercifulness, you know, people just have this vengefulness. Even if you go out and you drive a car, there's something called road rage. You've heard of road rage? You know about it.
Experience.
You've experienced it. How did you experience it?
My dad.
Oh, your dad. Oh my God. That's very embarrassing.
No, he was doing road race with whom? Like,
I know, no, no, not get into it. And then when I'm in Australia, I got told you don't use your horn when you're driving. Because people get very angry. You know, in America, I use the horn all the time. But I was told, don't use the horn, because people will come out of the car and beat you up. Yeah, you heard about that in Australia?
It's true, yeah.
It's true.
Oh,
Australia.
I've never horned.
Yeah. In America, people use the horn all the time. But in Australia, they don't, for that particular reason.
Yeah. And after, like, a week or so, I asked my friend that, do the cars don't have horn here?
said, no, we don't use them. We don't need them because I was so used to that honking.
India is a horrible
place. In India, you have to keep the horn on all the time.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't use the horn, then you can't get away.
You can't get away. Even one time, the devotees were driving a car without a horn, and Prabhupada was there. And Prabhupada said, take out one of these metal plates and keep banging on it. It's a famous story. Anyway, so the only quality remaining partially is truthfulness. And devotees should really uphold that quality of truthfulness. In other words, we should always tell the truth regardless of the situation. And people will trust us. Because as soon as you lie, you've broken the trust and you'll never get it back again. It's a fact. Once you catch someone in a lie, you never trust them again completely. It's like a piece of glass that becomes broken. You can glue it back together, but it's always broken. There's always the lines of it. So devotees should obviously follow the other four regulated principles, but as far as truthfulness, they have to be exemplary examples of the quality of truthfulness. Okay, any questions or comments?
Maharaj, truthfulness is again, they say that it should be, truth should be spoken in a way that it does not hurt or something like that.
Well, actually, Krishna says in the Gita, Satya Priya Hitam, as far as the austerities of speech, he says you should speak truthfully, pleasingly, and beneficially. In other words, if something is not pleasing or beneficial to someone, you just don't say it, you don't tell a lie. Telling lies is prohibited. I mean, for example, I mean, I always give this funny story. If you're walking down the street and you see someone, a lady who's really ugly, and it's the absolute truth she's ugly, you don't say, hey, ma'am, you are ugly. You just be quiet, you're just quiet. But you don't lie and say, hey, ma'am, you're beautiful either. So you can speak the truth and be offensive at the same time. So you have to be careful. How you say it? So Satya Priya Hitam. Satya means truthfulness. Priya means pleasing. And Hitam means beneficial. So those are the austerities of speech.
Not agitating
others. Or not agitating others. And of course the fourth austerity of the speech is mentioned as regularly reciting the Vedic literatures. The Bhagavad Gita tells us. So anyway, it's very important that we act as examples. We're supposed to be the leaders of society. So we should be extremely clean. Prabhupada said the temple should be revolutionary clean. And people should admire us. Prabhupada said that devotees should be perfect ladies and gentlemen. And that's how we can spread our movement. You know, people see us as sloppy or untruthful or cheating. I mean, sometimes the devotees would say in the past, whatever you need to do to distribute a book, you can lie to people, cheat, or whatever like that. But then it ruins the reputation. And people will not trust us. We want to be the leaders of society. Leaders mean that we are looked up to by society. We are role models. For example, let's say here's children. So why do children grow up in a particular way? Because they have role models. In other words, people they look up to. That's very important. Just like in my particular case, I look up to Prabhupada. He's my role model. In other words, role model means someone you want to be like. Who do you want to be like when you grow up? Donald Trump?
Yes!
He said yes. All right, so...
No.
That's his role model.
No, you.
I want to be like me. That's good. All right, so that's good. So that means I have that responsibility to act properly all the time because people will look up. And if I mean, I could still make mistakes like drive down the wrong way in the street or something like that. That doesn't take away my being a role model. But if I lie to him, it breaks that trust immediately. And then he's lost that as a role model. And some people have role models that are criminals. And, of course, with the media nowadays, especially, the movies, you have these role models. That's one of the reasons why marriages, let's say, in India are not doing too well, because they're role models of the Bollywood movies and the Bollywood stars. And in America, of course, the Hollywood stars. So people watch that, and then they have expectations that their life is going to be like that, too. And it doesn't work out like that. It gives people unrealistic expectations in life. So it's important to have role models who we can really trust. You know, trust is lost in Kali Yuga because people are lying. Okay. So any other questions?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Questions.
Yesterday we talked about supplying demand of food and all.
Yeah.
If we go into a store, we definitely check the ingredients and whatnot. And
yeah.
If we have other options, we can check for meat products and eggs.
Yeah.
And what about medication?
Medication is a different thing if you absolutely need it. Actually, Prabhupada was asked that question. Prabhupada said you should go to the doctor and say, is this absolutely necessary? You know, to keep me alive, to keep me in good health. And that's an extenuating circumstance that the medication has something in it. I mean, I know sometimes the vaccinations that people get have some sort of egg products in
it. Yeah, right.
Try not to have mercury in your vaccination. Well, that, they do use a type of mercury in vaccinations. And that, not the vaccination itself, but the stuff that goes in the vaccination as a preservative. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. But they, we don't know. They put you on all sort of vaccination, you know.
No, they tell Maharaj, but I just take it, give the kids what's required.
Yeah,
they
I mean,
allergic reaction, so they do ask you, you want it or not, because they have some kids, they are allergic to eggs.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the vaccinations will have eggs in it. And I do know, I mean, many parents are against vaccinations. But when I was young, there were a lot of people with polio. Nowadays, you don't see that anymore. But I had friends, you know, polio, they had to wear walk with braces all the time, and their whole life was ruined. And because of polio vaccinations, and also there was the Sabin thing, which was a sugar cube. Yeah, and people don't have these diseases anymore.
No, because they give you the polio medicine when you're born.
Yeah.
The vaccination is given.
Yeah, they give it to the kid once they're born.
Right.
Because of that, that's what I'm saying. So we're not against vaccinations because they've stopped and cured a lot of diseases. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada was not against these things, although we shouldn't overtake them. I mean, I have my doctor keeps harassing me to take flu vaccine. And I keep refusing, and I keep getting notes from him in the email. Why aren't you taking it?
But you don't take flu vaccine?
No, because it's not really effective. There's many different varieties. There's a different reason for that. There's many different varieties.
Yeah, I also think we should work
It's only 20% effective. So that's why I don't take it. But, you know, I have taken vaccinations. The other, in Fiji, I was in Fiji one day, and a dog came up and bit me.
Oh. Rabies.
No, they don't have rabies. In, but I took
that's good.
I took other types of vaccination to prevent an infection. So I'm not against that. I mean, so in those cases, yes, sometimes it's necessary to take those products.
Or maybe supplements we shouldn't take. The supplement is optional.
Try to avoid.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, I take several supplements. One is called AREDS, you know, which is for the eyes. And it took me some time to find a vegetarian supplement, but I did find it. But if I hadn't found it, and it was absolutely necessary, and it had the, like gelatin capsules or something like that, I would have had to take it. So sometimes you have to do that. Prabhupada said, in cases where it's essential, you can do that. Ordinarily, you try to avoid. Medicine is medicine. Okay, any other questions?
Thank you, Shaman.
Yeah.
A very beautiful class, and the point you, the purpose said about the life expectancy, average statistics.
So
decreasing. My question was on the truthfulness in Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the qualities of Brahmana, he mentions honesty.
Yeah.
But in the qualities of Kshatriyas, it is not mentioned, and subsequent verse talks about one, how one should do his duty and rather than trying to do others. So how do we understand? And Srila Prabhupada also quotes like a Vaishyak.
That's a simple lie. Vaishya has to say to you, for you there's no prophet. Prabhupada says that. So the leaders of society are the Brahmins. And here we're talking about the leaders. Obviously, someone who's making money has to sort of tell what we call white lies. But Brahmins or leaders shouldn't be doing that. And actually the Kshatriyas shouldn't be doing it. They can be diplomatic. There's a difference between being diplomatic and telling a lie. I remember when we were young, you could get away with telling a lie by crossing your fingers.
I do that.
And so whenever we were talking to our friends, we put our fingers crossed, but behind our backs. So
I do it for my toes. My mom sees my fingers across my toes.
So, anyway, so what Prabhupada wanted was leaders of society. You know, Shrestas, people to lead and encourage and act as role models of others. So therefore, devotees shouldn't be doing those things. Nor do we have bona fide Vedic Kshatriyas now. I mean, in the Vedic system, the Kshatriyas were allowed to go. We're allowed to go out and hunt and have many wives, and we don't allow that sort of stuff anymore.
Okay.
Who's that?
No, it's okay.
Oh, Nilachal. He left. Yeah. What's that? You're dragging people away. Okay, any other questions?
So Maharaj, I have a question regarding the truthfulness. We go to office and we deal with people who are very passionate, meaning they're just sitting in the office and they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
And they expect, especially if it is your boss, and you know, they expect the same thing from you also. And you want to live a balanced life. You're like, here's my 8 hours, I'm done with it, I want to go back and do what I want to do.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of politically being correct? Because you can't tell them that I can't.
No, you can't. You just say I'm exhausted, which is true. You're mentally exhausted from the whole thing. There's ways to say the truth and not create a problem. You know. I remember when I was young, to get out of going to school, I would take the thermometer and put it in hot water. I mean, that's lying, too.
What?
I'm not encouraging you to do that. Okay.
I was there.
I think it's time to end, because we got to go to Indra Dunya's house today. So all glories to Divine Grace, Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada,
Ki Jai. It was the end.